No.
People with diction is what they're saying to me. Welcome to Dublin.
Exactly. I'm just going to get into it.
Yeah, let's just get into it.
Guys, welcome back. This is Porrick here from the Humble Coach Podcast. I am joined today by an interesting man, I think. His name is Ronan Brady. Ronan, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for asking me, Porrick. It's really good to be here in your high-tech environment.
We've got a little bit of a low-tech environment floating around. So basically, guys, I don't know if I'm at liberty necessarily to give as much good detail of Ron's background. So I'm going to get him to give you a bit of his background. Ron, could you give us your background, how you got into coaching, or how you also got into kind of performing? Even just give us a little bit of a timeline, possibly.
Yes, I'll make the timeline as short as possible. Grew up involved in all sports, most sports, anything you could do, any athletics thing you could go to, any boxing you could do, any soccer, any Gaelic. And then it progressed on to just soccer and Gaelic, and came to a stage of making a choice between soccer and Gaelic, and then it just went all in on Gaelic football, and then Gaelic football became my life. Then I decided I was going to be a secondary school teacher, because the three main reasons, June, July and August, and that allows you to like play football. So I set my whole life up to play football, and that worked out really good until I got an injury around 25. I had a couple of things, an arthritic ankle and then an inflamed pelvis, which required a lot of rest. And then that kind of sent me down the road of acrobatics. I was trying to build up core strength, and so I got involved in acrobatics, and I went to an aerial dance festival in Donegal, and that introduced me to Sirwheel and all things aerial and acrobatic. The idea of acrobatics was always something nice. You know, you see Cirque du Soleil, you see these shows, and you never consider that somebody from Ireland does this. Like, Paddy doesn't join the circus, or he doesn't do these cool things. I didn't know who did, but it definitely not Paddy. And then kind of I thought why not, when I got to that stage. I'm like, may as well have a go at it. So I was teaching, and I was trying to learn these new skills, and I was kind of getting a bit phased with the teaching as well. I hadn't the grow for it, and I wasn't coming in with as much enthusiasm, and I didn't want to become that non-relevant teacher who was just clocking in, clocking out. So I changed it up, and I saw kind of a gap in the market, or that I could go at this other thing, but I didn't have enough work at it. And I thought, like, coaching's easy. It's not easy. I didn't actually think that. But I'm like, so how can I manage the two together? And I do enjoy teaching people. I do enjoy breaking things down, and also, in order to learn something, to be able to teach it, or to try and teach it, gives you a better understanding of what it is. So that's kind of why the two married together, and that's kind of how it happened.
So at the moment, you're like that, you're saying about the acrobatics, but we're going to go back a little bit. So you were playing at a fairly high level GA wise.
Yes.
Who were you playing with?
I was playing with Roscommon.
Playing Roscommon, and some good success, good team at the time. Still a good team. I'm from Mayo though, so that kind of stuff. But now you're least famous on the YouTubes and stuff, which is fantastic.
It's great, yeah.
But so you would have a decent background, like you were saying, lots of other sports, but playing at a fairly decent to high level give you a good understanding of a lot of basic sports concepts, so to speak, or you would think. And going further than that, then, like, obviously with teaching as well, it's a huge benefit to have that as your background. But did you find that it was a bit easier to get into acrobatics because of your previous sporting background, or did you find it actually like a little bit different? And
it was very different. The only thing, I guess, that being involved in other sports was work ethic, and pushing through pain barriers, and kind of knowing what's good for you and knowing what's bad. It was funny, because when I was playing Gaelic football, it was competition, and like, when you're being competitive, doing the best thing for your body isn't always a priority. You do the thing that will make you faster, stronger, and
you get there exactly.
Yeah, that will give you the edge. But then when I get into acrobatics, it was much different. It was more about healing the body than kind of getting back better faster. It also kind of told me to slow down. It's like there was, if you wanted to do something, you would try it and then realize, oh, wait a second, I need flexibility here, I need explosive power here, I need balance here, I need stability here. And it's like, ah, so now I got to break all these things down. I need to get more flexible there. I need to work on fast twitch, muscular, I need to work on strength. So then you had to strip it back and start building up all those things and then put it into the skill, which was kind of nice because you didn't have somebody telling you,
no,
you have to do this first. It was very obvious. You tried something, and it's like, oh man, I can't put my hands over my head, yeah. You know. So it's like, that was really good when I kind of moved to acrobatics.
And from there, I suppose, though, then the, like, now that you're a fairly high level, be a personality, at least in acrobatics in Ireland, or at least with a lot of the shows you've done and the activities you've done. But have you found that it would, like, are you sad that you didn't have acrobatics when you were younger as much?
Yes, in a sense. And there's positives and negatives to it. Like, you'll meet a lot of acrobats that have spent their entire childhood doing sports acro or tumbling or any of these kind of things. And they'll tell you they're quite broken up, that their joints are in bad shape. And so it would be fantastic to have it. Now, that can also be down to the type of coaching.
Completely.
But there's massive benefits in coming to it late, in the sense that you're an adult coming into something and somebody will tell you to do something. If you don't like that, you'll say, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You won't be a kid and just stand in line and go, I'm next, I'm going to throw myself into something.
Exactly.
So you look after yourself a bit better, and you can also weigh things up. You can go, well, he's teaching me this because he wants me to do that thing, but, like, I'm okay not doing the splits.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that. Or I'm okay never having a handstand. Or,
yeah.
So you can weigh things up and sort of, you can protect yourself more.
Yeah.
And then decide what you want to do and work towards that. So that's what's really nice about coming to it late. But then you also look at somebody who's done it as a child. You're like, oh my God, I wish I had that.
Super jealous. Exactly.
Yeah, you know. There's pros and cons. But I think the pros outweigh it, because we think, I started at it when I was 25. Like, you know, we just assume that we've no time left.
How old are you now?
I turned 30 last week.
So 5 good years.
5 good years, and I would say that it's not even 5 focused years, and
it's not,
like, even at the moment it's not focused. It's like, because work dictates what you train. So whatever's coming up, if I have to work on wheel for a while, if I have to work on straps for a while, you know, it's work will dictate what you focus on. And I'm getting to a point where I get my training a bit more rounded. So it's overall, I'm developing as a whole, as opposed to just focusing on these one things in, like, sporadic bursts.
And are you, is there, so obviously, like, there's a few particular pieces of, or parts of acrobatics that you're working on at the moment. I know you do workshops, teaching workshops for SEER and things like that. Could you talk a little bit about some of those elements, be it the straps or the SEER wheel and things like that?
Yeah,
it's for a lot of people, it'll be a little bit out there.
Definitely is a little bit out there.
It's really badass looking.
It looks cool, and we'll say the SEER wheel is fantastic because it's mostly about balance, and I think in Germany they'll call it the simple wheel, and it is because it's a simple structure, and it's frustrating because it is so simple and you can't get it, and it's. A lot of it is kind of muscle memory and patterns that you'll kind of end up doing. The straps are badass and they're super painful. And that's one thing that will kind of, if you really want to learn it, you'll really want to learn it, because every time you try and do something, it will be painful to stay in a position just from pressure, maybe on wrists or on whatever part of your body's hurting it. Generally, the piece that's keeping you safe.
Really.
Yeah, so those are those are really interesting in a sense from traditional style training that I would have been used to, with, say, being in a gym or working in anything kind of linear, like we'll say things have to be in certain places. But then when you move to apparatuses like these, you move in such organic and specific ways for certain things that it's hard to condition for them without actually just
getting into
them. Yeah, there's a certain level of core strength and flexibility and all that kind of helps. Mm. You just have to kind of
learn on the job hard. Yeah,
you kind of have to go at it. Mm-hmm. So that's really enjoyable. And like you put down the wheel, you go at the next thing, and that's really difficult. And then another aspect, I do duo trapeze as well, and that's even more scary because you've got another person who's moving alongside you, and it's not this other thing, like you're throwing a barbell over your head. You know what the barbell is going to do? It's going to do whatever you tell it to do.
Exactly, like, yeah.
But it's not going to change shape at some
unpredictable
point.
Unpredictable entity, exactly.
Yes, yeah. So
it's pretty challenging.
That brings challenges as well, yeah, which is great.
It's fantastic. Fun. And like that, so you have one end, I think, which is like you're getting a little bit more celebrity, you're getting a little bit more of a cool kid. You're working with some fantastic programs, be it Riot and things like this that we can kind of link it up to, and you have to check it out, guys. It's really, really good stuff. Mm-hmm. But on the other end of it, then looking at the likes of the workshops and how you would have had to break down the movements. Do you think you have a particular coaching philosophy or a particular coaching style? Is it quite relaxed and quite detailed about breaking down the movements in a very gymnastics-oriented way? Or do you have a little bit more of a nice balance nearly because you would have had the previous high-level sporting background, so that mentality of competitiveness alongside the delicateness, delicacy needed for working with workshops? Do you have a particular style, you think?
I have a particular style for myself, and you'll often read within the room. It'll be a different style. I'll change my style depending on who's in the room and who's wanting to learn. You've got some people who will want to learn the basics and don't know an awful lot about it, and you have to treat them in a certain way. And then you have some people who have a certain level of understanding and really just want to get drilled and, you know, want to get better and want it to be technically brilliant. So you'll set those both up in two different ways, you know. And anybody that's been introduced, you want it to be fun introduction as opposed to let's crease people with conditioning, you know.
Exactly.
And also with any of these disciplines, there's an artistic element to it. So it's like these are the fundamentals, these are the principles. I want you to apply these principles and then make that your own. So we might be doing the same thing, but it will look slightly different because you're Porrick and I'm Ronan, and I don't want Porrick to look like Ronan. So it's and it can sometimes, we'll say with the coach, sometimes the coach will demonstrate something, but it's not always a good thing because somebody picks up on a mannerism that you have that you didn't want to coach. Mm. So that's that is tricky.
And especially even in like we've spoken before about like some of the more basic gymnastics that you maybe like you've done like CrossFit or whatever it is you're looking at doing it within, and something like as simple as a handstand, most people will rock up, or someone who's teaching, and I'm very bad for this sometimes, but it's because you have a certain amount of people that you have to get through or you have to work with, but also like that there may not be an awful lot of grow for the real fine details of okay, you have to get your hands in this exact position and get your body in this exact position, and there's no amount of patience available for that kind of stuff. So I suppose that's one of the hard parts, is trying to find the balance between those who have the capacity for real progress and lots of detail, compared to the people who just want to actually have a cool party trick that kind of works sometimes.
Yeah, and if you're teaching somebody like this very specific hand position, like you know, while you're telling them where it goes, you're telling them why, so that when they go away and they start applying that, they're like, well, he said this was why. So if I change that position, the why is still the same, but the position is different, and they can kind of develop their own practice around the why. So it's not this is the way. And I think I think once you go down the road of this is the way I am right, you're fucked. You're
like, yeah, pretty much.
You know, you're in a lot of trouble. So it's like,
exactly.
Yeah, most people don't want perfection. They want to be able to do it and kind of move on to the next thing they want.
Yeah.
You know, and that's enough, because even elite level gymnast Olympic athletes will probably say like, that's not perfect. That's not, you know, perfection is, I don't know. It's nice to aim for, but
I think that's interesting though, the way you, that, like, even looking at the likes of that, do you get a lot of people in any of those workshops or your coaching in general, or and I'm sure you have plenty of people, like, even in the street or whatever it is, people that would know you via the social media areas and stuff, that they want a cool party trick, but they also, a lot of people will, you'll, especially with some of the artists you're dealing with, they want to be very, very detailed about their practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a challenging one when you're coming into a particular room of maybe beginners or something like that, or new enough people to it. Do you find it really empowering or really enjoyable, or does that kind of thing kind of go, oh, I kind of wouldn't mind working with these hardcore kind of characters, or are you a bit of a half and half?
I prefer working with people learning from scratch.
Mm.
And the reason is, I guess, because sometimes you can learn things from scratch, and God, I hope I'm not one of these people. You can learn something from scratch and that person can spoil it on you.
Yeah.
You can just go, I don't want to go down that road, you know? And then a few years later, you meet somebody else and you're like, oh man, I thought that was about something else, because that's what this person told me.
Yeah.
And I guess along with teaching them new skills, I like to kind of teach people not to take themselves too bloody serious, you know, because we can get so balled up in ourselves, you know, or like,
absolutely,
and afraid to try new things because you'll fall over and you'll look silly, and it's like, I think it's important, and this whole social media, it's important to put yourself up doing silly things, I think, because you can create this alternative, like, universe person that you record one perfect thing, and that's what goes out.
Completely.
And it's just not fair on everybody.
Well, exactly. And I think even especially with the likes of, and like, we could go with some of the more basic type of acrobatic stuff, but like that, especially when it comes to the stairwheel, when it comes to trapeze or things like that, like, these are fairly intricate, detailed, very challenging activities. But at the same stage, something like the stairwheel could be really interesting for someone very new to it,
mm-hmm.
to get into.
Yeah.
You're not going to trick them up on the trapeze necessarily, but you can definitely have a huge amount of ability to go towards the same stuff. But I like the fact that the stairwheel is it's all you need is a wheel, and you need some balance, or at least the ability to develop balance. And we all have that, essentially, or the vast majority of us have that at least. And for me, that kind of stuff is interesting, especially on a coaching level, because I'm my balance is okay, but it's not great. I can do a handstand, but not very well, and I'm probably need to spend more and more time on it. But something like the steer wheel would be an interesting one for me. Have you encountered any kind of different attitudes towards the likes of those apparatus?
Any differences in...
As in, like, is it really difficult to learn, or is it really easy to learn?
it's,
or what have you found?
There,
out of curiosity.
Different people take to it really good, you know, and sometimes you'll have people arrive to your workshop and you'll see them put down their bag and they trip across it. And you're like, oh my God, this is like, exactly. This is dangerous. Because some people just have no self-awareness and you're like, oh man. But it's so easy to get into. I mean, like you said, you just need a wheel and you just need to start spinning, you know, and it's, there's, and that's why I got into it. You know, I had been to these workshops, I had seen these beautiful people up doing splits and with massive strength and coordination and beauty and guile. And I hadn't any of that. So I was like, well, I can get in this wheel and I can like struggle in a little community center for a while. Anybody can get into it and anybody can go at it. And the reason I stayed at it was because I was bad at it and it was challenging and it was like me versus it.
Yeah.
So there was like that element of stubbornness in me, which helped me, but it's not easy. It's not, and I just have to get in and try and turn in the opposite direction. And that would remind me that it's like, oh Jesus, I can't go this other way. No. Like, you know, like no. Reteach myself.
Exactly. But that's interesting. So I suppose from there, going towards other coaches, and like you actually just, you mentioned social media, and you mentioned a couple of things like that, and different challenging elements of it. Is there more that we can do as coaches, do you think, from your perspective, or even from an artistic point of view? So like, if you were being coached, like I've no doubt that you, not necessarily being distinctly coached, but for your particular elements, but you definitely are learning a lot of these things. You have it unless it's been significantly self-taught, a lot of it is, of course, but have you found any particular ways or methods of coaching that you think we could apply more in general, or to the likes of acrobatics or basic gymnastics or something like that? Is it much more of a breaking things down that we need to do more of, or is it, like you were saying, getting the love really going for a particular point or two in it?
It's
Are we missing a trick somewhere?
I think there's understanding who's in front of you, or who you're teaching, and how they learn. And it's difficult as a coach with coaching people on a large scale, because everyone is different. But some people, like you'll say, put your hand up over your head and they put it out to the right hand side. They can't move a way you ask them to. But if you describe a feeling, then maybe they can execute something on a feeling that you've described. Then I think the better we get with our language and the way in which we can describe different scenarios or different things we want people to do, like effective communication is communicating in the language of the receiver.
Exactly.
So if you can't, and that's a blind boy boy club who I'm read lately, he's brilliant. And like, if there's no point talking about different types of planes and posterior, like hip hinge, like if people don't know what you're talking about, it's no good. So really knowing who you're talking to and getting that message across is important.
Bring it to their language.
Yeah, and really understanding what, you know, they'll tell you what they want and you'll understand what they need. And even both of those things aren't necessarily the right thing. You might have somebody in front of you who wants to lose weight and get abs, and like, but even when they do that, whatever they are chasing, whatever symptom in your door mightn't necessarily be solved by doing this. So I think there's a great opportunity as a coach to help somebody understand who they are better while they're in front of you. And it might just be posing questions like, it's going to be great when you're super fit, because then you'll be able to, what is it again you're going to do when you're, do you know, like,
exactly,
you know, why are we chasing all these things, you know? So there's, you have a massive opportunity as a coach, and also then to just understand it might be the hour that they're trying to get away from the kids, you know, and it doesn't matter. They don't care about the proper technique. They just want to sweat, beat themselves up a little bit and get home and
safe,
you know? Yeah, that's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. I think that's a good mentality to have. Like, for me, that's essentially your kind of growth mindset as much as possible, because on a very micro level, because that's all we have, is every person comes in the door, be it in a workshop or in a class or in a PT environment or whatever it is, and you only have a finite amount of time with this person, so you may as well try and maximize it. Now, some days you're not going to get away with that, and you'll be like, I should have done this, and should have said this to them. But like that, it's just literally getting a bit of balls and going, okay, well, look, you have a certain amount of hours, and we just have to actually get as much as we can done with you.
Yeah.
With the understanding that, like, okay, well, look, this person just needs to laugh a bit, because their life isn't that much crack in general.
Yes.
And this is where I think a lot of those kind of interesting elements, that self-dominance or the self-awareness and ability to really own, not necessarily own your own body, but to definitely take, rather than external load or rather than lots of other kind of elements, just actually managing your own ability to be on your hands or be on your feet or whatever it is, and having that ability to take a bit of ownership back can be really nice.
Yeah.
And I think empowering people to do that kind of stuff can be really, really valuable. That could be an interesting kind of one.
Absolutely. Like, and you're standing at the top of the room as a coach, and if they go away on holidays for something, they're like, oh man, I don't know how to train, and you're like, you've just done 50 classes with me. Like, you just need to push something, pull something, you know, jump up and down a few times, you know what I mean? Like, break it, like, make something up yourself. And if somebody can't walk out the front door, you know, after a few classes and kind of have a basic understanding, then like, how much are we helping them, or how much are we just making them, you know, putting them through their paces? agree. So, you know, we're responsible for educating people at the same time as well. So
completely. I used to say that same, like, I'm like, if I can't teach you much within 3 to 6 months and send you off and then come back 2 years later with a big ass plan, like to climb Everest or whatever it is, then I'm not doing my job correctly. Mm-hmm. I'm not empowering you enough with enough tools. And that's my job as a coach, is to make sure you have enough tools. I'm not necessarily, like, I think a lot of the time people will look at coaching or coaches as someone who's going to build their house. And I'm like, no, hang on a second. I can get you, like, I can build all the houses you want, but you have to be able to eventually fix your damn house.
Yeah.
Or like Kelly Starr talks about, that basic maintenance, we have to be able to go, well, look, I have an awareness of what I need to do to fix the boiler, fix this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that can be interesting. A lot of people, I like to ensure that people know, no, hang on a second. I'm here to help you, fine. And I'm here to facilitate as much as possible and try and give you as much good ideas. But I can't help you. Like, I can't, you're the person who's going to fix the person.
Yes.
Which is a challenging one. I think that's why I like a lot of the gymnastics type stuff, because that can definitely flick some switches for people. As they get a bit older, because like that, they're like, okay, some people think they're like, oh yeah, I'm 35 and I'm a goner, I'm 42 and I'm a goner, and you're like, chill out.
I'm too old for that. Oh, that's a young like, man's game. Yeah,
absolutely.
Them days are gone. You're like, wait, what?
It's just lunacy. Like.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, and it's almost cool to say. You know, you hear somebody say it, and we start repeating these kind of things, and you start to accept it. You know, but it's like, how do you train, you know, if you've got barbells and dumbbells, if you take all those away, then you mean you can't do a training session, you mean you can't have a little workout for yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, go for a jog, do some push-ups, like hang from a tree, you know.
It's not complicated.
Yeah.
It just takes it takes, I think, that though, the ability to talk to yourself in a very positive manner, and like that, acknowledge that you have the tools for this. And I get the same people just kind of go, okay, well, I have to go on holidays, or I'm away for the next few months, and da-da-da. And I'm like, cool, like, don't complicate it. Like, you don't need all these dumbbells and picking bits and pieces. You just need to, if you can go for a jog, like, people have been doing that for millions of years.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop anytime soon. I'm not going to stop anybody going for a jog or doing whatever it is. Whatever going to get you going. Have you any particular favourite, be it books or coaches, that you're kind of a big fan of, be it in the acrobatics world or in the general kind of coaching world, or even in general life?
The acrobatics world, Instagram is your friend. You just kind of flick through it and see different things. And the amazing thing from going abroad and training in Montreal and that's kind of where a lot of the best acrobats in the world, circus artists, were kind of based there. And you meet these people who've been in these amazing shows. They're just normal people who's you know, charging you $40 for a private class and like saying you want to go for a coffee. They're like normal people, you know, who just happen to have fantastic abilities and have worked hard from it. People that I follow, I like to, anything from Tim Ferriss. Anyone that Tim Ferriss interviews is usually worth listening to. He's a really good book called Tools of Titans.
Excellent book.
Broken down into like healthy, wealthy, and wise, and there's loads of little snippets and tidbits that you can. And I think it's important for coaches to get their head out of the gym for a good while and kind of take things from places that aren't health and fitness related, you know, or
completely.
I don't know, learn a guitar or like you do something that isn't.
It's a different skill set that you have. You will no doubt learn from.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to not learn from.
And it's good to put yourself back in the position of being a beginner again, because it's so hard to understand or to empathize with somebody who walks into a brand new place, you know. Like walking to, you know, line up with a load of swimmers for a swimming evening, you're like, Jesus Christ, this is intimidating.
Exactly.
You know, everybody comes in and see barbells lying around the place. Like, that is intimidating.
Obviously, like the likes of your colleagues in Ride or in any of these different shows that you're doing. Is there anybody in Ireland that you're kind of a big fan of? Or I know the likes of Yuri Marmonstein, these kind of guys are really interesting. But like that, you say Instagram is the kind of the way to go. But Is there anyone in particular in Ireland, other than yourself, obviously?
Other than myself.
who's kicking ass these days and is really interesting to kind of check out.
You need to check out a lady called Aisling Ní Chealaí, who's a badass hoop artist and probably the hardest training individual in this country in the circus world. She's pretty cool. Yeah, she's my duo trapeze partner, and I train with her a lot generally because she pushes me, and it's good to be with somebody or train with somebody who's better than you all
absolutely.
The time, you know.
Yeah.
They push you on. Mm. Yeah.
And I suppose on a final kind of note, what stuff are you doing at the moment? Like, are you're still involved in a few different shows? Can you have a quick little spiel about that?
Yeah, I'm involved with Riot at the minute, which a company called This Is Pop Baby. I got involved with them, and that you mentioned celebrity, but it's not. They helped launch me to a place where people kind of go, oh, I know that fella's face for some reason, or know his name. And that's going on tour, so we're going to Sydney, Melbourne, and New York in January and February, and a few other places maybe in the following in 2018. And then myself and Ash are making our own show,
nice.
Called Out of Square Circle, and that's happening next May. Working on that, and at the minute I'm just trying to rebuild my body up a little bit from the past year.
A lot of touring and a lot of activity.
Yeah, and when you're touring, you tend to not look after your body so good. You're just kind of it's late nights and bad habits, I guess, and just running the same thing over and over again, and you're
it can take its toll.
Yeah, it does. So just kind of trying to build myself up and get a bit better now for the coming year is actually what I'm up to.
And have you any particular coaching development next step, do you think, or is that just a nice, it's like an enjoyable part that you will kind of just keep in the loop all the time?
The coaching, I really enjoyed doing a handstand workshop the other day over in Athlone and CrossFit Cuchulainn, and that was great fun. People kind of build things up in their heads that are impossible to do, and it's rubbish. Like it's really nice. Some people are afraid to go upside down in a headstand.
Indeed.
Yeah, and totally understandable, because you go upside down and you don't know what your bloody name is. You know, you don't know which way is left or right, or go this way. You're like, what?
Absolutely.
Just teaching that. Then the likes of Sear Wheel, it looks amazing. It looks incredible. It looks impossible. And like you say, you just need a wheel and you just need to get in and try it. And people don't have access to this thing, so. I try to hold as many workshops as I can throughout the year. I don't do enough of it, but and then that gives you a taste of something, and maybe by tasting that, you see something else and go, actually, that's achievable, and that's achievable, and these things that aren't traditional in Ireland. It's nice to kind of expand on that, and it's not something that some foreign touring.
Yeah.
Company only
just
does.
Fly in with exactly like.
Yeah, and I got into the wheel. I tried it in Donegal. I didn't have a wheel. I built a wheel, and I got in it and just fell over a lot of times. You know, it's like, if you want to do something, just have a go at it. You don't have to declare to the world, I'm going to do this thing.
No,
you know,
basically.
You can just have a go at it and then go, oh yeah, there's something possible here. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's cool. So for anybody who wants to get in contact, I know he's a busy ass man. you do workshops. What's the email we want to? I'm gonna link it obviously in the show notes, etc. But what would be the way to contact you? If one were to contact.
Probably
you?
The best way is to send me an email, and I'll give you the email off, because it's a complicated
no
email.
Problem.
Yeah.
And then
Facebook,
what's your personal training kind of brand as well? You have the Anomaly
Performance.
Anomaly Performance,
yes.
Nice.
Go figure.
No, I like it. I think it's good. I think it's suitable. So that's pretty much it, guys. I'm really, really appreciative of Ronan for dropping in for this one. Ronan, thank you so much for coming
on.
If you are interested in any of the kind of elements there, guys, I'm gonna pop some stuff in the show notes. But Ronan is one to keep an eye out for. And like that, if you ever get a chance to look at any of his shows, it would be fantastic to catch up on. So for the moment, Ronan, thanks very much, and we'll chat to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening.
Super.